When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
Jack Eichel out for the rest of the season. Already hasn't played since March 7th, but the Sabres saying, yeah, he's not coming back. Has a neck injury in what has been an absolute disaster in Buffalo. Last night on Inside Sports, we're going to wrap up a storyline here. Don't want anybody hanging on to unfinished stories on this show. I put a poll on Twitter. It closed shortly after the show ended. Now, we knew where it was headed, but I got the final results. Here's what I wrote. For Oilers fans, if a North Division team wins the cup and it's not the Oilers, you'd want it to be. So I did not list all the teams in the division. I listed the other three teams in the North who are very likely to make the playoffs. Winnipeg, the runaway winner, by more than I thought it would be, 77.9%. Montreal coming in at 13.6, and the Toronto Maple Leafs at 8.5%. We had David Bowles hop on the show last night, who reads news on 630 CHED and sometimes over on Global News Radio 880. Fine young man, promising broadcast career. Most of it still ahead of him. And I know David a little bit. I mean, two things. I haven't been at work for, well, really much over the last year. So not a lot of mingling time with my coworkers. And let's face it, everybody, I keep to myself for a variety of reasons. I am an argumentative curmudgeon, and most of my coworkers find that quite disagreeable. So I ain't the warmest guy in the office. People tend to avoid me. So I knew that David cheered for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So he popped on the show last night, and I said, "What? Like, why? What's where? Who? How? Which? Where forth?" And the dude was born in Edmonton, and picked the Leafs as a young man. I think he said he liked Matt Sundin, Kellen, or Builder Lego, or Boreas Salming. He's not old enough for those last two guys.
Sundin, I think, was his favorite growing up.
He liked he liked Sundin. Okay, so he cheers for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and his dad, who's from Manitoba, cheers for Boston.
Well, hey, think about it. If the Nordiques don't trade Sundin, maybe he's a Quebec and Colorado fan. Who knows?
Okay, I thought about it. That was that dramatic pause. That's the sound of me thinking. Just a large silent sound. Yeah, people don't like Toronto in this part of the world. Surprise, surprise. I got to tell you, you can't vote in your own poll. I would have voted for the Canadiens, quite frankly. If the Oilers couldn't win it, I would pick the Canadiens to win out of the North and break Canada's drought. They were the last Canadian team to win it. Carey Price has been a great player. I got a bit of a soft spot for the Habs. I mean, I liked Patrick Waugh when I was a kid. I liked Kirk Muller a lot when he was there. I liked Mats Naslund, if anybody remembers him. I think he was the last Canadian to get 100 points in a season in 85-86. So I would have picked the Montreal Canadiens, but obviously Winnipeg here, the runaway winner in my poll, which is entirely reflective of how people feel. No doubt about it. Okay, well, he's in the bubble. He's been doing a lot of curling. He is one of the all-time best coming out of the city of Edmonton. He's the skip of Team Botcher. Follow them on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, at Team Botcher, Brendan Botcher checking in from Calgary tonight after curling in Worlds. Brendan, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Well, thanks for hopping on the show again. We always appreciate talking to you throughout the season and all the big events you've been playing in. And I know another one starts tomorrow, but we got to look back on Worlds. Hey, I know you wanted the gold medal. Who didn't? But how have you been able to digest what happened now that you've had a few days?
You know, it was a pretty awesome experience for us. I think you don't truly know what it's going to be like until you get there the first time and kind of feel your way through it. definitely a few things, you know, if we could start the event over tomorrow, there's a few things we'd learn and do a little differently, but you know, that's what experience gets you over time. So I'm so proud of the guys. It's been a tough year for everyone, and we battled our hearts out there. And at some point, you know, you got to be proud of that and happy with how you played. And I'm definitely happy that we qualified Canada for the Olympics. That was definitely a big goal of ours as well.
Yeah. Well, and definitely that's key for sure. Man, oh man, you guys had so many tight games, which I suppose you're used to. That's off in curling. I guess, look, Brandon, the unusual thing for you guys is when I watch, maybe this is a little unfair, but I kind of just expect you guys to pull it out all the time. You've done it so often. I mean, I was looking back at the schedule just at the round robin, you know, the close loss to Sweden, South Korea. I think Russia got you guys in the 11th. Can you put your finger on what separated in some of those games, or did it just come down to a break or two or a shot or two?
You know, I think for kind of the couch curling fan or people that kind of come in and out of watching a little bit, it's really easy to have the expectation that Canada is going to go to these events and be on the podium for sure, just fighting kind of for which color of medal you end up wearing at the end, without really appreciating that in the last decade or so here, the international teams have really, really stepped up their game. And it might be cliche to say this, but I definitely think winning the Worlds is harder than winning the Brier. I think the average team, the quality of the fields is even a little bit better than at the Brier. So there's a lot of good teams there that go to Worlds every year. So there's a lot of comfort. Whereas, you know, with us, it's so hard getting out of Canada that often you don't have that many cracks at a world championship. So you're playing against teams that are there every year. They're comfortable. They're playing great. They love beating Canada. So that's the best game they're going to play all week. And it just comes down to a few shots in those moments, but we absolutely have to play our best if you want to beat those teams.
Well, I think, and by the way, I'm definitely a couch curler. That's probably above my level of curling ability, but no, I understand what you're saying. It's high expectations for Canada. And you mentioned it, you got the bullseye, right? Did you get the sense that Canada is probably respected, but also disliked on the world stage, because a lot of teams have probably lost to Canada a lot over the years?
Yeah, I don't think disliked is the right word, but Canada is a team that's respected, and that maple leaf is a pretty big target on your back. And, you know, for some of those teams, the biggest game they get to play all year is their game at the World Championship against Team Canada. And if there's one game they want to win more than any, it's that game. So, you know, you get everyone's best all week. Every team that comes up against you knows it's going to be a tough game. They're going to have to play their best to beat you. And unfortunately for us, you know, a few teams were able to bring their absolute best and were able to catch us a little bit. And that's what happens. I wasn't expecting anything less. I've been to a couple of these now, and I understand, you know, what it's like playing against some of those international teams, and you have to expect them to play 90%, and you've got to try and bring 95% if you're going to win those games.
Do nations have curling styles? Do you know what I mean? Like, is there a Canadian style? Is there a Swedish style? Or does it just vary from rink to rink, regardless of where you're from?
Yeah, I don't think there's as much like a national style to how they approach the game, but you can definitely tell at a world championship, you get thrown some curveballs. So I think in Canada, we have a little bit more predictable style of play, especially the top teams. You know, we play the scoreboard very conservatively. We take chances when we have to, but we don't try and give away too much early if we don't need to. I think there's a few commonalities amongst the top teams here in Canada. And at the world level, you get a variety of different strategies thrown at you. Not that that's a bad thing. I don't think that was the reason, you know, we lost a couple games, but it's definitely different. It's a bit of a curveball for sure.
There was a lot of talk about Darren Moulding before and after the Worlds and some back issues. So obviously he didn't finish the mixed doubles. How was Darren feeling, and was his play affected at all by the back?
Yeah, so I would say Darren was feeling great, and that would be a testament to, you know, all the sports science people that were down here in the bubble with us. He had access to not only the best doctors, but, you know, the best massage therapists and the best chiropractors and physio folks. And he had better care down here in the bubble than I think anyone would get at home. And we were very fortunate too. You know, we had a week and a half from when his injury first happened to when we started playing the world. So we actually had a fair bit of time too to get him rested up. And I really did feel all week that he was feeling good. And that definitely wasn't the reason for any misses out there out on the ice.
Brendan Botcher joining us tonight on Inside Sports. Of course, he and his team won the Brier, just represented Canada at Worlds. And you're right back at it. Let everybody know what starts tomorrow and the process of refocusing, which is one you've been through a lot in recent years.
So this is events number, I think, four and five for me down here in the bubble. So it's been a long haul, but the Grand Slam start tomorrow morning. So we're starting with the Champions Cup and then headed straight into the Players' Championship following right as soon as the Champions Cup finishes up. And, you know, for us, each weekend has to be a new adventure. You know, we've played so much here in the last couple months that you've got to try and compartmentalize. And we've had a few days now to rest and recover. And I think all my guys are excited to get back out there tomorrow.
Okay, how many days consecutive in the bubble? Because I talked to Mark Kennedy before you guys started, and he went home for a couple of days in between, but you haven't left, have you?
No, I haven't. So I think I'm on week number six right now. And to be honest, we have a good setup here. I mean, the hotel is awesome. Our food options are awesome. We can still get deliveries. So anything you need on the personal side, you can have ordered and shipped to the hotel. And it's really not that bad. I've been working from the hotel when we haven't been curling. So at least my mental space is occupied with other things. And otherwise, you know, in COVID this year, it's been such a strange year for everyone. So maybe in some ways, strange is just starting to feel normal.
So what do you do to... I know during the bond spiels, you're curling a ton. So you're just resting, but have you been reading? Do you watch hockey or basketball, or what do you do to chill out a bit?
Yeah, so you know, we just a ton of curling, and then I've been working full time when I haven't been curling, so that's definitely taking up a lot of my time. And then in the evenings, yeah, we get together, watch a movie, watch some sports. We are allowed, my team, to be in each other's rooms, so we can watch something together for a little bit if we want. We can even just sit around for a couple hours and chat, which is nice too, just to see another person face to face.
So who's the most emotional of you guys when it comes to being a sports fan then? Who's throwing stuff at the TV?
That's a good question. I've got two guys on my team, both Carrick and Darren, could watch a lot of sports. We all like it. It's more a means for us to get together and be a team and talk and do all those things, when sports is just kind of what brings us together.
Right on. Well, of course, you represented Canada very well, and I know the journey continues for you guys. So again, congratulations on everything you've accomplished this season, and you keep going tomorrow. So all the best with the Champions Cup, Brendan. We'll talk to you again soon. Really appreciate your time.
Excellent. Thank you.
Brendan Botcher from the curling bubble, the skip for Canada at Worlds. Yeah, like you said, didn't get as far as they wanted, but as he said, everybody's gunning for Canada, and it's not quite so easy that the Canadians can just roll in there and beat everybody. That was quite a... I stayed up watching that final on Sunday night. Sweden got 5 in the ninth to get the victory at Dean Rink is a pretty big story. 7:21, still 2-1 Calgary leading the Canadians with 8 minutes to go. This is Inside Sports on Chet. We'll be right back. right. Thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. I'm looking forward to talking to Don Wilson after the 7:30 news. Former Double E defensive back. He's been named to the Hall of Fame class for the Canadian Football Hall of Fame for 2021. He was once involved, and some of you probably remember this, in a 16-player trade between Edmonton and Toronto. 8-for-8 swap. Yeah, in Edmonton, we often talk about the deal as 1-for-1. This deal was 8-for-8. JT Miller from the Canucks making headlines this afternoon. He was asked, should you guys be playing on Friday against the Oilers?
It's a hard question. You know, I don't want to be caught agreeing with you and saying that I'm also saying ridiculous here, but I should is a weird word because there's just a lot of moving parts, and I don't know. And, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, that we're even in a scenario like this, but like I keep alluding to in my mind, I guess, is that it is our job. We have to be prepared to play, but at the same time, I mean, I think that whoever, you know, the schedule was made, I understand the guy's coming off of 3 weeks of rest, 2 weeks of having COVID, that one practice isn't even close to near enough time to come back and perform at a high level. So, and on that, and not, it's not even about being able to perform. It's nothing to do with hockey at this point. Brutally, honestly, I think that, you know, we're going to need more time than this to come back and play hockey. Even the guys that didn't get it, were not ready to play. So, it's a decision that was made, and as of now, we're going to be, I guess, ready to play. But I, without going too much farther into it, I mean, that's all I can really say at this point. Is it seems like a very high hurdle to try to jump over to try to jam 19 NHL games and against good hockey teams in the month. So.
The Calgary Flames are keeping hope alive. They are about to win their third in a row as they lead the Canadiens 4-1 in the final 20 seconds. So the Flames move 4 points back of the Canadiens for the final playoff spot in the North Division. Again, the problem for Calgary is that now as the game ends, they have 13 games remaining. Montreal still has 16, but still hope for the Flames. They got to win these head-to-head matchups against Montreal to have a chance, and they do get the win tonight. The Oilers in Vancouver on Friday, 5:30 face-off show, game at 7 here on 6:30 Ched. We've been playing the JT Miller comments from the Vancouver Canucks about he doesn't think really they should be playing. He doesn't think the team will be in good enough shape to play a game on Friday, but that is the situation that they are in. The Jets have beaten the Senators 3-2. Trevor Lewis scored shorthanded halfway through the third period. That goal turns out to be the game winner. Josh Norris did get one in the final 10 seconds for Ottawa, but the Jets win it 3-2. Avalanche lead the Blues 4-1 early in the third, and earlier today, Minnesota knocked off Arizona 5-2. NBA Raptors lead the Spurs 101-93. That is halfway through the fourth quarter. Earlier today, the Blue Jays with a 5-4 walk-off homer, Bo Bichette, 5-4 win over the New York Yankees. Thanks a lot for tuning in tonight, Inside Sports on 6:30 Ched. We had Nick Lewis on the show last night, who is a 2021 Canadian Football Hall of Fame inductee. Pleased to welcome another member of that class to the show tonight. Many seasons and a couple of Grey Cups in green and gold. It is Don Wilson on the show. Don, you're on with Reed. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing wonderful. How you think I'm doing?
Well, I'm glad to hear you're doing well. Tell me about getting that phone call that you're going into the Canadian Football Hall of Fame.
Oh man. It was amazing. And the thing that made it better was I got it from one of my teammates. So, you know, it was an amazing thing. I had to pull over though because I was all choked up. So, because I was driving. But it's an amazing thing.
Who made the phone call? Who was it?
Rod Connor.
Oh, no way. That's awesome.
Yes. Awesome. I mean, like I said, you can't get no better than one of your teammates calling you to give you the great news. So,
And where are you living these days, Don? Let everybody know what you're up to.
I'm living in California. I've been in California since I left the CFL, since I retired.
And do you? How do you keep busy?
Well, I'm doing acting. I've been acting ever since I've been here. As a matter of fact, I started acting in '97 in Toronto. So I did a couple of movies, a couple of Disney movies, and then I did an episodic TV show called Earth Final Conflict, and then I moved to California to continue.
Yeah, well, I've definitely heard of Earth Final Conflict. I don't know if ever. Well, were you not in Grey's Anatomy? I thought I read.
Well, I did an episode of Grey's Anatomy too. Yes, I did. Yes, I was in an episode of. It was called Deny, Deny, Deny. So, because they can't deny me in a Hall of Fame. So, well, Deny, Deny, Deny. So, yeah, I did an episode called Deny, Deny, Deny in Grey's Anatomy.
Okay, well, that's cool. Now, were you always interested in acting even while you were playing football, or how did you get into that?
Well, the acting thing really came along when I was young. I was always an actor, actually. In junior high school, I did a play called The Wiz, in which I played the Lion. And we performed that for like 2 years all over the city and out the outskirts, you know, because it's like Maryland, D.C., and Virginia. They kind of close. So we used to perform it all over the place. And we made enough money to go see the real Wiz in New York. And then when I went away to college, NC State, I did a play called Guys and Dolls. So, and I played Big Julie. So I've been doing it actually all my life. It just,
oh, cool.
You know, the football took over because, you know, I made it to the Buffalo Bills, and then I played two seasons there, and then I went to Edmonton. And I played from 87 to 98.
Right. Okay. Well, you had a couple of stints here with the Green and Gold. And I mentioned this before we brought you on. You were part of, in 1993, one of the biggest trades that anybody's ever heard of. 16 guys, 8 players each way. What do you remember about that? That was crazy.
Hey, I remember it was crazy. I said, eight for eight. Where we going? But, you know, I mean, you know, as a player, you just, you play, you suit up wherever team you're playing for and everything, so you give it your all. But it was really a funny trade. But it worked out for me. So I enjoyed the trade afterwards.
Bill, because you won a couple of Grey Cups here and a couple of Grey Cups with Toronto, so winning kind of followed you around a bit.
Right. Well, I would appreciate that. I mean, I was just fortunate to be on some great teams, really. I had some great teammates. You know, it was fun to play the teams I was on. It was really fun.
What first brought you to the Canadian Football League? I often ask American players this because some of them, you know, were considering the CFL. Some of them had never even thought about it before an agent or coach said, hey, you should go take a look at Edmonton, Winnipeg, or wherever. What was your story about coming to Edmonton?
Well, I've always known about the CFL because the CFL has been around longer than the NFL. So I've always known about it, never thought about it because I didn't know, you know, that we could play up there or whatever. But I've always known about it. And what happened was I was in Buffalo, which is close to Toronto, and a coach that coached me in Buffalo, Joe Farragelli, after I went to Montreal and the team folded and I went to Winnipeg and I got released from Winnipeg, Farragelli called me and they had me come into Edmonton and the rest is history. It worked out that I was able to get with Edmonton at the time I did.
Sorry, I was just saying, what was the biggest transition for you from playing 4-down, 11-on-11 football to 12-on-12, 3-down football as a defensive back?
Well, to me, I love the game because it turned football into a fast break. It's almost like fast break football. Like, it's just a lot of throwing. And, you know, I like interceptions. So, to me, it was real fun. It was like, okay, all right, I love this game. Only thing I had to get used to was the bigger field and the bigger end zone. So I had to stay with my man a lot longer in the end zone. So those things were different. But the fact that, you know, they threw the ball all the time, and I just enjoy that as a DB.
Yeah, for sure. Don Wilson joining us tonight on Inside Sports. 12 years in the CFL, split time between Edmonton and Toronto. Also had a season in BC. As I mentioned, he's a four-time Grey Cup champion. He's a 2021 inductee for the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. Okay, Don, I got a fun one for you, and this is a standard question I ask retired players. And sometimes guys got to think. So if you need a second, you can get it. Sometimes guys have a name pop in right away. Who is the best player you ever played with, and who is the best player you ever played against?
Who is the best player I've ever played with, and who? Wow. That's a tough one, really. That's a tough one. I play with a lot of great players, though. So,
I mean, you had David Allen in 93. It was pretty good. I think you would have played with Dunnigan on both teams.
I played with Damon, Dunnigan, Clemens, Flutie, Rocket. I played with a lot of great players. Willie Pless, Gizmo. I mean, just a lot of great players. That's a tough one.
Well, you listed off an all-star team there, so I won't make you pick.
You know what I'm saying? Didn't I pick an all-star team? Oh my God! You know, that's a tough one. To play against one, I think I might be able to answer that one. The best player I ever played against.
Receiver or quarterback? Since you were a DB.
That's funny because I'm a DB, right? I should be able to name some quarterbacks and some receivers. But I did a pretty good job against the receivers I played against. So,
oh, there you go. That's why you're going to the Hall of Fame.
That's why I've kind of, you know, I mean, I play against a lot of great quarterbacks, you know, but I don't really know which one, you know, gave me the most problems.
Yeah.
I mean, because I played pretty good against Doug Flutie. I played pretty good against Damon. I played pretty good against Dunnigan. I played pretty good against what's his name? Because I love him too. I used to get some picks, but I liked him because he was a great quarterback. Danny McManus played a lot.
Of course.
So and Burgess, I like playing against him. And Ken Austin, I like playing against him, you know, and Archer from Sacramento. There's a lot of great quarterbacks, but I end up doing pretty well against them, though. So, I don't know.
Hey, Don, congratulations, man. Thanks for connecting with your fans here in Edmonton. Of course, we got tons of people who remember you and love watching you play. All the best with your continued acting career. You know, hopefully when things are a little better, we'll see you at a double E game. I don't know what the team's going to be called then, but it'd be cool to meet you in person.
Okay, yeah. Well, hopefully I might be up there sometime this summer. Never know.
There we go.
Never know. Yeah. Thank you very much for having me.
That is Don Wilson. He's going to the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. Inside Sports on Chet. I want to preface what I'm about to say here is that I don't have a lot of information on this, but I have seen enough chatter on social media that I do feel that I should pass this along. And one of the people who has posted this tonight is a gentleman who goes by the name of Johnny Infamous, who is the DJ of the Edmonton Oilers. And there is concern tonight about the safety and whereabouts of Robert Clark, who is the anthem singer for the Edmonton Oilers. And Johnny Infamous has posted that Rob Clark is missing and hasn't responded to communication from anyone for some time. Apparently he is the owner of a blue 2020 Ford Edge with the license plate CJP1788. I know that's a lot of information to process, but again, there seems to be some concern tonight about the whereabouts and possible well-being of Robert Clark, the anthem singer for the Edmonton Oilers. If you go on Twitter, the Twitter account is pretty simple. Johnny Infamous, exactly how you would think it would be spelled. And obviously he knows Rob and is concerned about him tonight. So hopefully Rob is okay. But I do want to pass that along here that there appears to be concern, some concern for Rob tonight. Okay, tough transition, but we do want to get Randy Gregg onto the show, the former Oilers defenseman who's the managing director for the Edmonton Riverhawks of the West Coast League, who made an announcement today that is a tough one for them. Randy, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, you guys aren't going to be able to go this season, Randy. Tell us how come.
Yeah, well, as everybody in the world knows, the pandemic is having a detrimental effect on many parts of our society. The West Coast League, of course, is in the West Coast. We're both in the United States with 10 franchises and 5 across Canada. And when we realized that the third wave was coming, the league got together and started to think that there may be a bifurcated division, so a Canadian division and then a U.S. division. And that way that the transportation across the U.S.-Canada border wouldn't be as big a concern. But recently we've seen, especially with the spike in cases in British Columbia and also in Alberta, that it's going to be very difficult to have a season this year. We want to make sure, and I certainly respect the experts with Alberta Health Services and Dr. Hinshaw, and when they start to give us the trends that this isn't going to be a one-week or two-week transition to the recovery we're all waiting for, we have to make a difficult decision. It's a little bit hard in Edmonton because I think Edmontonians have been waiting for great baseball for a long time. And to miss out on that is tough, but we all realize that the situation is we have to work together to make sure that the pandemic is battled properly. The good thing is, of course, is the work that we've been doing down at RE/MAX Field is continuing. We're working with a great company putting new artificial turf. It's going to be fantastic. A new scoreboard's coming in. We're doing lots of renovations to the facility itself. So come 2022, I think the fans that come down to watch baseball will be just amazingly excited about not only the quality of baseball, but also the quality of the venue itself.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that. I was going to ask you if work continues on RE/MAX Field, so I'm glad you can go on with that. Yeah, and a couple weeks ago we had Kelly Stinnett on the show, who you guys hired as the field manager. Is he committed for 2022, or what's the status there?
Oh, he sure is. He's a coach in a college down in Arizona, and he was telling me that in Arizona in summertime it's about 115 degrees, so he is an American and comes from, I think, Oklahoma. So he knows about heat, but yeah, he was really looking forward to coming up. He's heard a lot about Canada and the fans. And of course he loves the facility itself. And the West Coast League is sort of second to none in the Western Canada and the Western United States. So yeah, he's fully committed. What we need to do, of course, is a couple things. We want to make sure that, our fans are safe and our players are safe. And the other thing is a lot of players that we're really looking forward to coming to Canada, we want to make sure that we give them enough time so that they can get to other teams in the United States. These players are, some of them going on to Major League Baseball, so they want to have a summer where they can take some swings and get some more at-bats and some more pitches. So we had to make a decision earlier than we'd like, but I think it's appropriate to make sure that these players do get a place to play.
And just to clarify, the West Coast League is having a season. It's just the Canadian teams that won't be able to take part.
That's right. With the immunization strategy in the United States, a lot of the teams in the West Coast League in Oregon and Washington feel that they can field teams safely and also bring some fans in to share the experience. The difficulty was BC is struggling. We've got 4 teams out there, and it doesn't look like that change is going to be imminent. So we have to make a tough decision. But you know what? We're committed for the long haul. We have a 10-year lease and hopefully another 10 years after that. So the Riverhawks are going to be around for a long time. And, so a little bit of a bump in the road, but
you know, even more time and energy to put into having a great 2022 season.
Okay. Well, Randy, we appreciate the update. Of course, we wish you all the best as the work on Remax Field will continue. I know I talked to a few people today, pretty disappointed they won't be able to go to games this summer, but we know there's been a lot of that to deal with in life, and I think we're moving towards a brighter future when we can get together and watch a lot of sports together again. So we really appreciate the update. I know we'll stay in touch. Thanks for popping on tonight.
Yeah, thanks for your time. Have a good night.
That's Dr. Randy Gregg, Managing Director for the Edmonton Riverhawks, giving you the lowdown on why they and the other Canadian teams will not be able to play this season in the West Coast League. All right, updating the NHL scoreboard, have beaten the Canadiens. Flames have beaten the Canadiens 4-1. The Jets knock off the Senators 3-2 with about 8 minutes left in St. Louis. It's Colorado with a 4-2 lead. Golden Knights and Kings coming up in about 10 minutes. And the Ducks and the Sharks will play in about 45 minutes. Earlier today, it was the Wild over the Coyotes, 5-2. Matt Zuccarello with 2 goals in that game. He is up to 8 on the season. Major League Baseball, Blue Jays beat the Yankees 5-4. Bo Bichette homered twice. He had the walk-off game winner. And the Raptors hang on to beat the Spurs 117-112. Oilers practice tomorrow and then fly to Vancouver. You can get more on the JT Miller comments on 630ched.com, globalnews.ca. Bob Stauffer will have Oilers Now from noon to 2 tomorrow. I'll be back for Inside Sports from 6 to 8. The producer of the show is Dave Campbell. Your studio producer this evening is the one and only Kellen Kennedy. My name's Reed. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.
Six thirty, Chad. Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins, weekdays at 6 on 630 Chad.